than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Red Eye Review, and we are here to talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we got plenty to talk about in this Red Eye Review. The Ravens coming out of nowhere, beating the Dolphins 40-0. Joining me, as always, to break it all down, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Man, what a weekend, man. And like you said, 40-0?
Nothing.
Dude, I didn't expect that. You know, this season's been so up and down, and these are the games the Ravens lose. You know, how many times have we seen the song and dance before? And when we're up 20-0, I'm like, dude, this is great. You know, showing for national media, NFL networks here, all the celebrities. I mean, Steve Smith's back in town. It was like, that's what you want. To showcase our stadium, the scoreboards, the color rush unis. You know, it just was it was fantastic, dude, just to be there and to soak it all in.
I wanted to ask you before we get into the game. You were there, as always, there representing, sitting at home, watching it on TV. I was a little embarrassed. It looked like Ravens Nation did not show up.
It was a late arriving crowd. I don't know if it was traffic, being a Thursday night, people were tailgating and partying. I don't know, but my section was empty right at kickoff. Maybe about 4 minutes into the game, all my whole row got full. People around me started to come in. It filled up, and it filled up pretty nicely, and I got some good pictures. So, again, I don't know what it looked on TV, but I know it was loud there. I didn't have a voice come Friday morning, so – yeah, I drank plenty of honey hot tea, you know, late into the night, and I didn't get home to real late, obviously. But yeah, I was a little shocked, but I wasn't really shocked though, because it was like I expected it. I was like, I heard people were giving away their tickets, especially after the way we performed in Minnesota. But I was like, I was talking to fans in the tailgating, and I was like, you know, winning changes all that festive. I mean, if we were like the Eagles up the road before the game, they were 6-1. Now we know the Eagles won, and they're 7-1. I was like, if this Ravens team was 6-1 entering the game, dude, everybody be in their seats. Everybody be. I mean, you just know how it is. If we'd have beat the Vikings on Sunday, would have been a different tune. You know, here coming, we can win this game, be 5-3, right? One game off the pace. I mean, winning changes everything, obviously. So, you know, when people are selling their tickets, dude, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it was like on TV. I've yet to watch. I mean, I watched highlights, but I've yet to really see the full effect of it. But it was a late arriving crowd. It filled in pretty good.
Well, I mean, it definitely did. Towards, like, halftime, and, I mean, the end of the game, it looked empty again. But
well, because we
– I mean, the game was in hand. People knew what was going to go on. But I agree. I like, at the beginning, I was like, man, this really sucks. I can't believe that Ravens Nation has such an empty stadium. But then you see it fill in, and you kind of realize, well – it is Thursday night, and yes, it is starting at 8:30, but Baltimore is a very crowded city. It is very hard to navigate some of those roads when it's crowded and rush hour. You got people trying to get home that live in, you know, Federal Hill and Locust Point, and then you've got people that are normally tailgating coming down. I mean, all right, I get it. It was a Thursday night crowd, but let me ask you, like, as a whole for the NFL, is this Thursday night experience or experiment they've had the last couple of years, is it working? Because I mean, yes, the tickets are sold to the stadium and for the game, but if you have that many people showing up late, is it working?
I don't know. It's really tough. I mean, again, I don't want to keep saying the mantra winning cheers it all, man, but it is a difficult thing because, like, I have to take off of work to go tailgating, and then even if I have to don't take off work, it's a chore to get down there and beat traffic, get down there ready to kick off. I mean, and during a week, it's really hard. You know, people got, you know, work in the morning, and it's almost like you have to take off Thursday and Friday. You know, I took off Monday for Monday Night Football, and being obviously – you know, because I have no life, and pretty much when the schedule comes out, I take off vacation days if the games are on a weekday or whatever. So that's just me. So, but, you know, it's just – it goes like that. But it is difficult during a week, and, you know, it's different if it's a quality opponent, if it's Ravens Steelers and Thursday night, I mean, it's Ravens Dolphins. I would say it's almost like the opponent too. How hard is it that you're getting a backup quarterback in Matt Moore? It's the Dolphins coming into town, and you're like, it's the Dolphins. Like, it's not the Packers. It's not the Patriots. I mean, obviously another opponent, a better opponent, draws the ticket. If it was the Cowboys, I think the Monday night game against Houston later this month is going to bode well for us, especially if we keep winning here, but then also because Deshaun Watson is the next best thing in the NFL right now, man. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the kid's on fire. I mean, I don't know if you saw what happened on Sunday, but, dude, they were lighting it up. Him and Russell Wilson had one of the best games of the year, back and forth, and you know, the dude's putting up fantasy numbers like crazy. So, you know, he's on my team in another 40-something spot. So, you know, and then with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, the dynamic receiver. So I think Houston coming in and the ties with now the World Series and the Houston strong, that's going to be a better draw than the Browns like we had last year, and then the Dolphins this year on Thursday night. So, I mean, the Thursday night opponents seem to get watered down. Now, I've seen some divisional games. Like, I've seen, I think this week, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's Bills and Jets. I mean, I think there's some, you know, but I think they kind of saved the good matchups for Sunday and Monday nights. But it is what it is. You know, I wasn't really too, you know, quote-unquote embarrassed by it, but it's just – you're right. It filled in nicely. It was a great environment, and it just – it's great for the fans who didn't get to go or who never been to a game. What a game to go to. I mean, and I have so much to cover in this game, but I want to start off this way. I don't know if you know this, but I still got to go through my pictures and post them on the call Facebook. It's just, again, my week's been a blur with getting back to work and getting back from the trip. But, you know, I apologize to Richard for ahead of time. But I don't know if you remember this, but you remember our listener over in Sweden, Richard Olsen.
Yeah, you were telling me about him.
He actually came to the Thursday night game. He flew in from Sweden, and they came here. It was great. So
you had to meet up with him at the game or before the game?
Yes. We tailgated. We gave him the full-blown experience. He met up with me. Great conversation. It was great to meet him. Man, I just learned so much. I mean, we had a blast tailgating, and our tailgating was light because it was only me and my friend Jen. So we did the whole Ravens walk thing. So we were just standing around with my friends, and we were talking, catching up. He shared the culture about Sweden and the differences over here, and we shared a lot of stories about the culture. And he told me, I was like, what's you know, because I'm like, obviously, like, you know, Germany, because he's from Munich, Germany. So I was like, I know they're known for the beer and Oktoberfest. And I was like, what's Sweden known for? He said coffee, and I'm like, I'm in. So, because you know me, my coffee. So, dude, it was a great time to fellowship with them both and get a chance to, you know, soak up the culture. We got pictures together out front of the statue, the Ray Lewis statue out front of the stadium, you know, sharing stories about tailgating, what we do on a game day. I was dressed up, and they were loving that. You know, what I do and just being in the festive environment. And he was, you know, he was going crazy in the Ravens store, rightfully so, because he was sharing stories of how much the shipping is for shopping online to ship it to Sweden. So he's like, you know, I think he bought a Suggs or Mosley jersey, if I'm not mistaken, at the Ravens store, a Color Rush jersey. So, dude, he had a blast. And get this, he had seats down low. So at the end, because we sat up high in my seats at the end of the game, he texted me pictures. At the end of the game, he was right there where the players, I guess, exit. He got to meet Marlon Humphrey, and Marlon Humphrey gave him his game-worn gloves.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so yeah, man, he had an overall blast, and he got the whole experience, man. He got the tailgating. He got the game in. Dude, I mean, you can't have it any better. It's like you can't script it any better. A blowout win, largest shutout in team history, 200th win all in one. He was a part of it. I was there. Everybody was a part of it, not only watching on TV, but at the stadium. You know, it's just, it's awesome. And he gets to go home with a piece of that forever. And just, man, I couldn't have scripted it better for him. And, you know, he was over in London and met Ray Lewis and Ogden and had that experience. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for us over there. But I'm happy he traveled all this way, a lot farther, and it worked out this time. And he had a great trip. He said he started in New York, went down to Philadelphia, came to Baltimore. He said the next day he was going to D.C. after the game, and then going back up to flying out from New York. So, he had the full trip, man, and it was great to meet them both. And, we've gained a good friendship. And next time I try to, travel and go out there, I got a friend in Sweden. We can go out and see the sights and sounds, man.
There you go. I love it. Let's do a podcast live from Sweden. I'm down for that.
Let's do it.
He got a retweet from Marlon Humphrey as well, showing off the glove. So that's pretty cool.
Yep, absolutely, man. I mean, it is pretty awesome that, players get to, share the experience with the fans like that. And just, it's great, man. I'm excited to see that form. I couldn't be more tickled to death and overjoyed, with the experience they both had. And, apart from the game, man, it's just, there was a lot going on here. And we had, hits, we had cats on the field, we had blowouts, we had defensive touchdowns for the first time in forever. I mean, what didn't happen? And but I actually, because I was at the game, I didn't hear the call. But Tony Romo, man, he called a good one on that cat, didn't he?
Tony Romo, let me tell you, I mean, it really sucks to see your NFL quarterback career go, but I may be in the minority. I really enjoyed him on commentary. I thought he actually added a lot to the game. He's funny. At one point, after the second fight that was towards the fourth quarter ended and they started lining up again, he goes, "All right, looks like they're finally going to get this game going again. I want to go home." Like, he's not holding anything back.
Nice.
He's doing commentary on a cat. And he even brought up, he showed the Ravens a little bit of love because, like you said earlier, this was like a history-making game. So much happened. This is the second shutout the Ravens have had this season. To have two shutouts in eight games, that's not bad. And Tony Romo brought that up. He said, this team has had a lot of ups and downs, but those ups, two shutouts in eight games, that's pretty special.
It is special, man, and if you look at it, it's just how crazy is that? And in the shutouts, we've outscored them 60-0. One's on the road, one's at home. But it shows you how week to week this league is, man. I mean, look at Pittsburgh, our arch nemesis, who's in first place. And it sucks, but Roethlisberger throws five touchdowns against the Jaguars. They beat them. He's questioning whether he still has the ability to play and whether he wants to continue. And then all of a sudden, they're on a three-game winning streak. They're 6-2. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. Teams that look so good one week look so bad. It's like us. We make the Vikings look like a great team, which they are. They're 6-2. But they took a while to get going against Cleveland, and Cleveland had the lead a few times on Sunday, and then they finally put them away. But it was like, it's just these teams, it's week-to-week, and it just shows you, man, if the Ravens can just stick in the dogfight, they're not out of it. I mean, everybody's trying to write them off. Yeah, the way they look and the way they play and the injuries, but we just played our eighth game out of 16. We're 4-4. Yeah, we won 4 and lost 4. It's half and half. But yeah, we're a few plays here. And I swear to you right now, if Mike Wallace didn't get hurt in Minnesota, we're probably going to win that game. Because if Joe Flacco has any weapons to throw to in Minnesota, we win that game. Because as I said before, and I'll say it again, that game, that was the first to score a touchdown wins the game. And you've seen what the addition to Jeremy Maclin came back off of injury worked. He threw a bullet right there in between the defenders to Maclin, perfectly placed, great touchdown flow. And I'm like, say what you want, I don't think Ryan Mallett can make that throw. Yeah, Joe Flacco's had his up and downs. He's been inconsistent. He doesn't have the pocket awareness. He's average Joe for some reason, but then in the playoffs, you know what he does. But it's what an all-pro quarterback makes that throw. A Ryan Mallett backup is not making that throw to Maclin. No way, no how, and it's not going to happen. You can give Ryan Mallett 100 times to throw that play. He's not going to get a touchdown on that. He's just not. He had to put that perfectly in there. And I'm just happy he's okay. But I definitely want to cover it because – I'm going to get your perspective, man, because you obviously saw it on TV. I was there live, had a different feeling and a different perspective of it. The play was right in front of me. So let's get right to the nuts and bolts here and talk about the controversial play of the night and another a few plays in there. But what was your reaction to it? Because you saw it on TV and they didn't really show it in the stadium, obviously for fan intensive purposes, not getting us riled up here. But I mean, I saw it on my phone. I got replay of it. It was vicious, man. It was just, when it first happened for me live, I didn't really think Flacco was hurt that bit. I saw the collision, I saw his helmet fly off. I was looking for the ball because I'm like, dude, it's a live ball. It's a fumble. Get it, because I didn't want to lose the possession. We were right there on the 10-yard line driving to score. And then when I saw Flacco like all woozy from where I was sitting, I'm like, yeah, that's concussion all the way.
Yeah, showing it on TV, they showed it multiple times, different angles, slow motion, regular speed. You got a little bit of everything on TV for that hit. And it was a nasty hit. It was a bad hit. There's a lot of debate right now whether or not it was an illegal hit or not. And we're recording this on Monday night, so we're not really sure what the NFL has decided yet, whether or not it should be a fine, suspension,
anything. And I think he has to be, because – even the guy that hit Matt Wallace in Minnesota, he got fined, I think, suspended the game, I think. So something's got to happen, whether it was intentional, unintentional. It's hard to say, but I'm going to hear your opinion. We'll definitely break it down.
Yeah, so, I mean, Joe got hit. His helmet goes flying off. You see, like, there's blood on his ear, and you see that he kind of lifts his hand up, and it looks like he's trying to touch his ear, but his hand can't make it there. So you can tell right there that his brain is scrambled right now, that he doesn't know what he's doing or where he's at or anything. He doesn't know that he's Joe Flacco at that point, and he doesn't know how to get his hand to touch his head. So, I mean, it definitely is a big concern looking at it. When I saw it live, I was like, all right, well, he's done for the night, and you know what? He's probably done until after the bye week, because that hit was just so gruesome. I do have to say, though, this is the first time I've liked Ryan Jensen this season, because he stuck up for his quarterback as quickly as he could. And then you see Harbaugh running in and getting in Alonzo's face. These two guys weren't taking any crap and letting him hit their quarterback in that way. But
right.
You know, Ryan got in there. He probably could have gotten a flag or something, you know, if they really wanted to. But that was a nasty hit. I think it should be a suspension. I know there's a lot of debate. Well, the quarterback's no longer a quarterback if he's running. Joe should have went down earlier. And that's true. But Alonzo also shouldn't be leading with his helmet. He shouldn't be leading with his shoulder into somebody who is sliding. You know what happens with a quarterback when they run. I think maybe if he did more of like a, you know, opened his arms up and he hit Joe with his chest, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Right. And I definitely could agree with you. And my take on it, before I get on my opinion here and give my take on the whole hit and the situation, is when you were saying, like, you know, you were thinking that he was going to be at the bye week. I mean, we'll definitely cover his status and his availability there and thereafter. But when it first hit, I was like, oh my God, we can't lose our quarterback. But after reassessing it, yeah, I think Alonzo is probably going to find. I don't know if the suspension's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, you hope it is, or you hope something's going to happen, whether it's a fine and or a suspension. You're going to get a combination of maybe one of the both. But my take on it is, I'm not saying it was a malicious, it was a vicious hit. But I'm going to give you this take here, and I don't know if you heard this, but I sounded off. I mean, I agree with everybody. Oh, my God. But the Ravens players were asked after the game, and this is what they said about Alonzo. Alonzo is not a dirty player, but that was a dirty play. And I kind of stand by that statement because, yeah, you don't want to whack somebody in the head. I mean, how many times the NFL is mandating hits with the head and the knees? I mean, they're trying to protect the players out there, and they're flagging anything accordingly. I mean, how many times do we whine when, you know, our defensive guys go out, you know, whether it's intentional or not? I know it's not intentional because of, you know, we feel that our players aren't malicious, but, you know, when they go around the knee area of any quarterback, they're going to get flagged for it. So it happened to Suggs. It's happened to a few others this year and years past. But what Colin Cowherd said on his show, and he kind of called us out as Ravens fans, and he makes sense because – And you can look on my Facebook feed. The videos are on there. I posted a video today. It was like 4 or 5 minutes long of like all the most vicious hits in football from college to NFL. And there's people getting like death, cartwheel, blah, blah, blah. And they're getting blasted far worse than what Joe Flacco got blasted, or probably just as equal or worse. And that was like maybe what, 5, 10, 15 years ago max. You know, how many times is, you know, and Ray Lewis was on that montage of the video. I mean, you know, if you go back on Ray Lewis's block when Chris McAllister returned to kick off 108 yards of Monday Night Football, you know, he laid that guy out. He, you know, Ray Lewis laid Dustin Keller out on Monday Night Football up in the New York Jets game. I mean, how many times do we praise it? And Colin Cowherd said that. He goes, Ravens fans, he called us out and said, if the shoe was on the other foot, and if Ray Lewis laid that hit, you would have been like, great play. What do you mean? You know, don't be a sissy. It's football. So he called us out, and I have to agree with him there, man. Whether I'm going to get called out on that, I don't know. But it's like I say it all the time. It's football. You sign up for. But I'm not saying I blame Joe. But if you look at the play, and I've looked at it in slow motion, I looked at it in fast motion. Joe slid at the last minute. You're right. Alonzo as a defender, and I've heard offensive players both. Present and past, and I've heard defensive players present and past have a breakdown on this play. It's kind of split. You get players who are like, I don't blame either player. It's kind of like it's the play, and then I hear like, oh, you blame this or you blame the defender, you blame Joe. But where Alonzo didn't really leave his head. He hit him with his shoulder. Yeah. I think that's what happened, right?
He did. He hit him with the shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, but now if he'd led with the crown of his helmet, that's one thing. Then he should be like ejected for the rest of the year because he's like using it as a spear, which the NFL don't want to do. Where he would have been and Joe Flacco was standing up, he would have hit him right in the gut. So I think at that time when Joe's running for the first down, it was on the 10-yard line, and Alonzo's like, oh, wait, it kind of like they met last minute, and Joe's like, okay, here comes a defender slide. A lot of defensive players, former defensive, I think even Shannon Sharp even said, you have to anticipate, Alonzo's got to anticipate Flacco to slide there. But then it's like, but then what does he look like a fool if he holds up and then Flacco just walks right by him and gets the first down or walks right in the end zone and no one tackles him? Then you're like, well, why didn't the Dolphins player, make a play? He's an idiot. You know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're gonna see that happening. So the rules have changed so much where it's like, yeah, you can't let up. But like I said, I don't fault Alonzo because apparently as he was making his football move or getting ready to do that, Flacco was standing up. And then as he starts to lunge, he's like, oh, wait, he's sliding. So, like, and I don't think it was, like I said, I don't think it was he's a dirty player. It was a dirty play. But I will say this. There was a dirty play by a dirty player later in the game with Nam Dun Su where he kind of, like, grabbed Ryan Mallett. And his post-game conference, dude, the dude's full of crap. Like, he's like, Mallett came at me first. I was threatened. You're threatened by a little measly quarterback, and you're how big? Just shut up.
Let me just say this about
Sue. He's a punk.
How is he still in the league?
I don't know. He's had a record of this. Alonzo doesn't. He has a record of it. So
yeah. Sue has been around the block a couple times. He's injured a lot of people. He's been suspended multiple times. I can't believe the NFL wants to continue to showcase that type of player. It seems like the NFL is trying to get away from that kind of stuff. It's trying to get away from the bad news. And for Sue to grab Mallett by the throat to poke Austin Howard in the eye, this guy's dirty. Yep. There's no room for that in the NFL nowadays.
No, there isn't. That's what frustrates you. I mean, I'm more mad. And you might sit here and say, hey, Josh, you'd probably be singing a different tune if Flacco was hurting out for the year. I was more mad at the fact that, hey, that our livelihood of even doing any success this year rides on his shoulders because, you know, face it, if Joe's out, Ryan Mount ain't the answer. So, you know, if he's out all season, all hope is lost. So it was like I was more mad at the fact that I was more worried about Joe's okay, but then I'm thinking like, well, he better play next week. You know, like it was like, great. You know, he just got him knocked out. We need to win next week. So it was like kind of like I'm already thinking long term, like, all right, how long is he going to be out? What's the concussion protocol? I'm already thinking all these things. But, I mean, I think we'd be singing a different tune if he was out for the year and all that. I mean, hindsight's 2020. But, you know, at the end, I'll be all – again, it's a play. It happened. You know, Alonzo will get a punishment come to him accordingly by the league. He'll take it. He'll move on. Flacco, apparently, you know, we'll definitely break everything down on the Purple Friday preview, but just to give you a heads up, he's fine. I mean, the team was like, he was back in the facility, and then today it was on the Baltimore Ravens website.com, they were saying that he's showing no signs of any concussion. He's saying zero symptoms as of now, but then prerequisiting that, saying that concussion symptoms flare up any other day. Like, he could be fine 3 days in a row, and then all of a sudden one day he's showing symptoms. So they're going to monitor it day to day. But the good thing about it is time's on our side, because they said apart from playing the two games in 4 days, the Ravens played one game in 23 days, because you figured they got 11 days off to their next game in Tennessee, as they play on Thursday. Then they have a bye week, and then they travel to Lambeau Field. then they got a longer week because then they come home and play on Monday night. So they technically have like two games apart from – they got three games remaining this month in a whole span of 3.5 weeks. I mean, it could – time's on their side, and I feel like if this was a Sunday to a Sunday game, doctors are already saying he probably wouldn't play. But because the game's on Thursday and Joe's doing okay now, there's a strong chance that he could be available for us next Sunday. And we're definitely going to break down the game plan of the nuts and bolts as it gets closer in the week and monitor Joe's status. But being obviously recording on Monday night, we have all week. It's been 5 days removed, but as of right now, he's up and walking. He's been in the facility. He hasn't taken any practice reps. Ryan Mallett's been taking the first team, but we'll see his progression. But I'm just happy he's okay. It was a vicious hit. You know, you can't really put the blame on one or the other because, like I said, I feel like Joe slid the very last minute. And they were breaking down, like, quarterback slides, like how Aaron Rodgers slides, how Russell Wilson slides, how Cam Newton slides. I mean, it was just a whole – it was like a whole ESPN Sports Center special on how quarterbacks slide. It was just crazy. But and Joe's known for that. I mean, not saying it was Joe's fault, but Joe – just he's ugly when he does it, man, and he's always been a bad slider. So I mean, you know, whether he made the split decision, I mean, and he slid to protect himself, but at the end of the day, Alonzo made a football play. He led with a shoulder like he's supposed to do as a defender. He would have hit him right in the gut if he was standing up straight or even running as he was upright, because he just called it what it is. I'm glad Flacco's okay, everybody's okay in it, but I'll tell you this, what I don't know if you saw what happened in the Bears game, but who's not okay is Zach Miller, man. Did you see that injury?
I didn't see it. I heard about it, but yeah, that's a terrible injury.
It is, man. It's scary. I mean, it's career and life threatening, where it was like he could lose his leg. And I heard the surgery went okay, but for those who didn't see it, it's gruesome. I mean, I'm not saying encourage you to watch it, but you won't really get the full effect unless you see it. But it's bad. It's Jigsaw bad, because I saw that movie this weekend, and boy, was it good. But you know, speaking of Halloween and horror, but I just tell you what he did. He went to go for the touchdown, and he came down on his leg, and he snapped his knee backwards, and he snapped it backwards so hard it busted the vessel behind his knee, and they had to do vascular surgery on his leg. So yeah, it was that was the most gruesome injury I've seen in recent memory, and it's just I had prayers for the Miller family, man. It's just tough to see that happening, but like I said, it's, you know, we whine and complain about the Flacco injury, but count our blessings, man. You know, Flacco was only under concussion protocol. Not to say it's normal, but hey, Mike Wallace had one last week. How many times Aaron Rodgers have had one? I mean, it's a common thing in the NFL. Just happy Joe's okay, and that's why they wear helmets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to say, you know, even though I want Joe to play as much as possible and I want to see Joe as quarterback, Ryan Mallett stepped up this past game. He had a very shaky preseason. I didn't have a lot of confidence in him as the backup after preseason. But this game, he stepped up. He came in. And, yeah, Joe had set up the scoring pretty well in the beginning and got, you know, Wallace back. And Alex Collins had a great game. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. But Ryan Mallett, for the most part, I mean, yeah, he looked like a backup, but he did pretty well on Thursday.
He did. He managed the game well. I mean, it came right in through a touchdown pass. You know, look well. I mean, he was a game manager, and he's even said, you know, he's been a starter in the league, and he's ready to start whenever he's called upon. But, you know, he went right in. He looked at the play call sheet, and he did well. You know, he wasn't like – I was like – but I even joked a little bit, half serious, half joking, where it was like, not that I didn't want to see it in the shutout be, you know, not no more, but it's like – if I said, here come all the Flacco haters getting their wish, but then I didn't want to say this, and I'm glad it didn't happen, but I'm like, I really almost want him to fail, and then they start to come back and go, see, we need Joe. So all you haters, hush up, because we need a quarterback. But I didn't want it to happen. Glad it didn't happen, but because I'm like, I'm just saying, you know, yeah, Ryan Mallett beat the Steelers and all that, but it's like, you don't want Joe to go down. I mean, as far as he says right now, he's the best that we have. You have to go forward with what we have and be grateful for it. Again, you know, picking apart his flaws, he's not perfect. But Ryan Mallett was great, man. You're right. He was a game manager. He did well, called the plays. And I tell you what, his best weapon was right behind him. How about Alex Collins, man? One of our first 100-yard rushers in a grand long time, it feels like. The dude had, 100 and it feels like 120 yards or so. I mean, he was blazing, man.
Alex Collins had a great game. He was another one that Tony Romo was talking about, and how great that he came out of nowhere.
He had 113 yards on 18 attempts, man. He's amazing.
The first Raven this season to rush for over 100 yards. So he definitely showed up for this game. There's some news we'll be talking about in the Purple Friday preview involving Danny Woodhead. We'll get to that at the end of the week. But Alex Collins right now is showing why the Ravens have so much faith in him. There were some problems with him holding onto the ball earlier this year. Seems as if he's been working on that. This game just solidified to me that Alex Collins is going to be a full-time Raven for a while. Dude's got the wheels. He's got the moves. He looked fantastic on Thursday.
He did, man. And you have to credit that Irish jig workout he does, man. Everybody makes fun of him for it, but it's working. And you see it in his cuts, man. How elusive is he? And he runs with vigor and speed. And I'm telling you what, dude, breath of fresh air. He's our future back. And I'm just happy that we found a diamond in the rough, man. He's just been a great – and Harbaugh even said today, which isn't a surprise, but he kind of went out and endorsed him and saying – you know, he's pretty much the full-time back. He's going to get a lot of reps. And, you know, it's great when you – and I've seen the play action work, and I'm screaming in the stands. A good scream was like, see what happens when you run the ball. You set up the play action. It's a healthy run game, and it works. But don't be doing these stupid play action calls and screen passes when we're not running it with Weston out and Buck Allen are healthy. I mean, it's just garbage. And I'll tell you what, of all the flack that I've given Marty Mornwig the last 2 weeks, he actually called a good offensive game plan. So, I mean, you know, I'm not putting stock into it, basically, you know, like, oh, it was the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins came back down 14 points and again against the Jets, who've been very well season. It's a week-to-week league. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're all NFL teams. They're professionals, and I'm not taking any opponent lately because Dolphins are right in the thick of things. And, you know, for what it's worth, Alex Collins provides that breath of fresh air. And when it mattered, we grounded and pounded, and we were turning out the first downs like it was just awesome to see. And it was just everything. It's just crazy how it's like 1 week they look anemic, but then all of a sudden it's like they look like a juggernaut. And, you know, how about two defensive touchdowns? Man, that Mosley grab was impressive, man. Right on the line of scrimmage. Barely got in the end zone, but he did. And then the Jimmy Smith pick six, man, he read that thing like a wide open book. And I saw the replay when I got home and watched him, and he just took it to the house. Both touchdowns were on our end. It was great. And your boy Roma, man, he called a good one on the run back with Mosley. I don't know if you remember, but I saw the highlights, and he was like, he's going to score, Jim. He's going to score. And it was just awesome, man. He's got that excitement, man. He just – I love it. Imagine him and John Gruden together would be a formidable team on calling a game, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm like, please, it'll be a dream. I hope it happens.
Mosley, he looked like he was reminded of last year. He knows to hold on to that ball after he gets an interception.
Yeah, the Redskin game. You got to hold on to that ball, which I was scared when he got hit right at the goal line. I'm like, please don't drop it.
And I do
want, I remember that.
I do want to say this about Jimmy Smith. I think this guy's going to the Pro Bowl this year. As long as he can stay healthy, he definitely looks like he's going to be a Pro Bowl nominee, at least having an absolutely fantastic season. And this that interception showed off, you know, just more of the moves the guy has. You see Eric Weddle coming in, going in for the tackle, and then he throws that ball, and Jimmy Smith, boom, he's right there. Every side of the ball did well on Thursday. This is what it looks like when you have a full team all working together. You have the offense doing what they got to do. The defense showed up. Terrell Suggs leading the way. He did really well on Thursday. Special teams, everything was they did almost a perfect night. They had one blocked punt, or it wasn't a punt. It was a field goal attempt from Justin Tucker that was blocked. But, I mean, everybody did everything that they had to do. I think one of the keys to the game was that the defense was up against the Ravens offense as they normally are in practice, and the Dolphins and the Ravens offense kind of, you know, they have the same scheme a lot of the times. It's very much an East Coast type of play. The Dolphins have a lot of hard times converting the ball on the third down. So do the Ravens. I think that the defense was kind of familiar with the type of offense the Dolphins, you know, you can expect from the Dolphins. And they played up on that, and it worked out perfectly.
It did, man. And you bring up a good point. Brian Billick in the pregame this week broke down that matchup, and he said it's going to be a tough game because both teams mirror each other because they both play hard-nosed defense. They got great defensive players, and the offenses are similar. I mean, they can get going, they can get going, and then they can get cold when they get cold. And it was pretty much a game that could have been up in the air. And it was just interesting to see how it all panned out, and I'm happy it was in our favor, super happy it worked out in a 40-0 blowout. But it's just awesome to see how if they just play fundamentally sound football and have weapons. But I was screaming when Joe Flacco threw that pass to Macklin. I'm like, see what happens when Joe Flacco has his weapons? He's fine and he's in his pocket's clean. But obviously, if his line can't block and his receivers can't catch him, I mean, in Minnesota we had Griff Whalen and Michael Campanaro, Chris Moore out in the receiving core. I mean, that's not getting it done. And I will pose this out there. I mean, again, you know, I've already heard, well, Brady does a little bit more. Well, Brady's not a Manning, but I swear to you, would Troy Aikman be anybody without Michael Irvin? Would Joe Montana be anything without Jerry Rice? Or would Peyton Manning be anybody without Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, and Demaryius Thomas and the whole gang? Receivers help the quarterbacks as well because the quarterback has crap players to throw to, can't catch, can't run routes, and can't do this. The quarterback's going to look crappy. So it's, again, it's a team effort. You know, the quarterback's got to look good to give him the ball, the playmaker that make plays. I mean, you see what's happening all over the league. You know, when you have a great receiver that can do good, I mean, Deshaun Watson on the Texans threw pretty much a screen pass to DeAndre Hopkins. He took it to the house 70 yards. I mean, look what the Steelers did. You know, third and long back in their own end zone. 97-yard touchdown. Juju Smith just took off and took the afterburners, 97-yard touchdown. I mean, when you put the ball in these playmakers' hands and make plays, you know, it goes a long way. So, again, Joe gets his all his healthy weapons back. I mean, you look at it this way. If Joe can come back next week, Wallace will be back next week, we can get that win in Tennessee, get a bye week, and then get healthy again because we have 2 weeks in the next game, we're going to be fine. But we have to stay healthy now. We can't get any more injuries on the team. We have to start now. But it just was a sound win, and I couldn't be more happy with the team right now and how they've resounded from a loss, and they rebounded, man. They came back. They looked ready to play. And they again, you know, going back from the last home game where it was like, what gives, it's kind of like this. They took the mojo, what they did in Oakland, and they bought up and they found it on Thursday. Just keep duplicating the process. Every game's not going to be like that, man. But I think we're going to be fine in the long run. But we got to start, you know, winning these games we need to, because, you know, we're right there in the thick of it. By the way, I wanted to cover breaking news in the NFL tonight. It's not Ravens related, but how about this? The Patriots just traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the Niners.
Wow, really?
Yep. Breaking news as it happens on the call. Anytime NFL. Yep. It's Adam Schefter, obviously ESPN, trusted source as always. They're trading to the Niners for a 2018 second round draft pick.
Interesting. All right. Well, things are moving along. Do you think the Ravens will be making any moves? I mean, they have a couple more hours. What, it's tomorrow, Tuesday at 4 that they can make a move? That's the deadline. I mean, NHL deadline comes and people are moving all over the place. NFL's usually pretty quiet. Do you see the Ravens making any moves?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, you like to see it happen. A big rumor was happening, swirling, that Anquan Boldin wanted to get back in the league and he had to be traded, and the Bills have to trade his rights. But the Ravens really didn't come up in the ranks as far as its suitor, because I think because we got Mack and we got Wallace. But it would put it past us if we put out an inquiry out there. I mean, I've heard teams have reached out. I don't know if Bolden's just saying hearsay, if he's feeling that Brett Favre fever where he just wants to come out of retirement and play football, man. But, you know, he's there. I don't know if we could use the services. We definitely could, you know, but I don't know if the Ravens are looking in that direction. I don't know if they've even inquired about it, but Lord only knows. I really hope they have. It would be great to have him for the run. But that's the only thing if any move out of left field, it probably would be that move, but I don't see it happening. I'll be surprised if it did. But no, I think the Ravens are going to stay with the players they do. If they make them, it's usually a free agent or a waiver wire pickup. It's never really They never really make any season trades. I mean, anytime they do, we know it's in free agency before the draft starts or even after the draft during the offseason. I mean, it never really – I can't remember even at any point in this team's history where they've made an in-season trade or move and it's worked out. So I can't even remember if they've even done that at all.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Bolden does have a pretty hefty price tag, $4 million. So the Ravens, I don't even know if they have that much cap space. So it really comes down to dollars and cents. And I think, you know, if Bolden were to come back, he would have done it over the summer before going to Buffalo. So
that's why I feel this ship has sailed. But it's fun to talk about. It's fun to speculate. But
if he'd like to sign like a one-day contract to retire a Raven, he can do that.
Yeah, I mean, every team. I mean, Jacoby Jones did it. Jared Johnson did it. Every team does it. And I'm expecting Steve Smith to do it. I don't know if he'll retire Panther or Raven. It remains to be seen. But I just fully expect the Ravens to be quiet here on the home front here. It's crazy because we have one of the best front offices. We always draft well or seem to draft well. Our track record, you know, long term, it has been successful. I mean, short term here recently just been, you know, spotty at best. But, you know, it's funny. We talk about our front office in a way of you think we would be proactive, but we're not. We usually make our noise in the drafts and in free agency, and we stay true to our guys in season and let the teams make the moves where they need to. Obviously, the Niners need to make a move. They're 0-8 or 0-7. I can't remember the record. They're horrible, like the Browns. But they had to make a move. I mean, right now, I mean, we need playmakers, but we need Wallace and Macklin healthy for the remainder of the year. No fans or buts about it.
Absolutely. So, Josh, for this Red Eye review, have we covered everything?
We covered it for a hearty, quote the Raven, nevermore Halloween Eve. It's going to be good.
That's
Edgar Allan Poe, man, celebrating his works. It's good, man. So it's like the season, you know. Read the Raven, the Telltale Heart, all his classics, man. I have all his poems in a book, man. It's awesome.
That's right. There's a special Edgar Allan Poe show airing on PBS tonight. Actually, we're recording it. It started about 12 minutes ago. So I'll give you a little clue of what time we record the show before it gets out to you guys. But you can watch that on PBS. It's all about Edgar Allan Poe. I didn't know he was in the military. So that's kind of fun to figure out little tidbits about that. But if you want to continue the conversation, and you know what? If you want to tweet to Josh or I, and you're wearing a Ravens-themed Halloween costume, let us know. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
So right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And again, share those Raven Halloween costumes with us as well over on the Facebook page. We'd love to see them. And maybe we'll share a couple of them from our page to let all of our likers check it out as well. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show. Red Eye Review. We will be back on Friday with a Purple Friday preview. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It was an action-packed show as always. What a win. And coming off that high, it just feels great, man. It was great to just go enjoy Purple Friday and all weekend. You know, a great Raven football-free Sunday to enjoy some, go to wholesome football and just talk a 40-0 win. And everybody's just saying, hey, 40-0, man. How about that? And I know you guys, fantasy enthusiasts were tickled to death if you had the Ravens defense and Justin Tucker on your team as I did. Solid points production. But then if you went against them, you know what you went against because it was a tall order, just like the Dolphins, man. It just felt prideful. You always want the team shut out, but as Brandon alluded to early in the show, two shutouts in eight games. Yeah, we've kind of had up and down year, man, but it's what it is. And two shutouts and two of our four wins coming off of two impressive shutouts, one on the road to start the year and then one at home recently. This is great, and we know it can get done. And like Mosey said in the post game, that's Raven football right there. You saw the real Ravens tonight, and let's hold them to that. You know what, CJ? Hold the whole team accountable, and if that's the real Ravens, they better stand up next week in Tennessee, or this week, I should say, this coming Sunday in Tennessee before the bye week. We get to it this week. Enjoy this one, Ravens fans. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.